Welcome to VFN Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to us today. It is Thursday. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that the day between Wednesday and Friday? That's for Southerners. Friday. Got anything fried on the menu? We're going to be talking about to you today on the in-between day, in between Wednesday and Friday. We're going to talk about what's happening, God and snooze behind the news. John has an epiphany sharing with us about what is going to be taking place in these last days in detail, possibly. And joining me, your host, Greg Lancaster, this morning, afternoon, evening, when you're listening to us, is the producer of VFN Radio Program. Totally amazing. If you don't believe that God works miracles, this man is highly intellectual. He can take computers apart, put them together. He can push buttons and talk to the world. Yes, I am talking about John Ramos.
All right.
No, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And of course, from the outskirts of the city that we all await the sign. 15 minutes outside the walls. Nah. John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Are you hostage? It sounds like you're hostage this morning. I can barely hear you there. Well, be encouraged. We got so many things. I want to welcome our new listeners this morning, at least some of our new listeners. I'm going to get my glasses on here. Bert. You have an uncle named Bert. Bert Lancaster, don't think so. I want to welcome Brad and Michelle and Jen and Tom and Keith and Ernie and Islam and Abrico and Jay and Linda and Nancy and Robbie and David and Barron and Newton and Franklin and James and Robert and 70. So many of you guys. I know we didn't call you all out. There's just too many to call, but we just thank you for all those that are joining us around the world. Want to give a shout out to Yulong in Hong Kong, man. We really believe I'm watching things taking place. The new largest, fastest train now is in China. I can't wait to see John catch it. You are listening to VFN Radio, a radio program that's brought to you under the unction of You Better Do It. That's a God word. And here we are. Yes, sir. VFN Radio. My name is Greg Lancaster. I'm your host. And joining me in this hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Oh, it's wonderful, man, to see that New York Jets jersey on this morning.
No Jets jersey on today.
It's not?
This is the Mets with an M.
Well, I just want to tell you that I'm getting my red licorice. I mean, this stuff is good. You want a piece of red licorice?
Licorice?
I got a whole bag of red licorice.
Licorice?
I'm in a tournament. You know, this red licorice is so good, man.
Yeah, why don't you just share some?
Every Christmas, at least. Here, you want some? Here, I'll get some out for you. Nah, we're just imagining. I'm keeping this. Red licorice. What's it made out of?
Licorice.
He lives his life to go licorice. I mean, just like 1, 2, 4. You missed 3. I mean, you know, he's my correct. If you're looking for a correction, that is the producer of VFN Radio Program. It's very, very important. He's the one that's, now, if I say something that kind of missed the mark, he's the one that's supposed to point it out. It's his gift.
Ooh.
He's got a finger. He's got one finger that points. Radically, and then, but he's
radically,
it's important. It's always important to have somebody on the team when you're talking, you know, off the top of Chris's head, you know, about what's happening. So many things taking place. We got somebody to correct us, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the one that just fell apart yesterday on air when he had a finger pointing his way. He's like, "Oh my gosh, a finger!" He almost it was so funny. Man. You missed it.
Help.
He was sharing, it was really cool, talking about crackpots, and just watching him, you know, he always gives us like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 numbers and stuff, and He looks at me shocked while I'm going like, yeah, you're confusing me. And I held up, I held two fingers up, and he just freaked out. Oh my gosh, what does that mean?
Every 30 seconds.
And then
seconds.
I pointed everywhere. I pointed at everything like this. But I was so proud of him. It was just, he just hacked his way through it. It was like, where's my notes? Oh my goodness, I'm lost. Well, if you missed, yes,
licorice again, will
you? Right? No. But if you missed yesterday, you've got to get. There's a segment called about shaking your faith. I believe that they're going to change the name of it to New Year's Resolutions, you know, getting up and going for God by faith in 2013, hopefully, because that's what it's about. You know, don't live another year by somebody else's confusion. Mm. You know, you're listening to somebody and they're talking all this stuff and you think, oh, you're right. You've been, what you been doing? They go, I've been watching CNN News. Oh, is that where you're this from? Yeah, watching in between my programs. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, live for God in 2013. We're going to need, meaning the church at large, all of us, we're going to need people that just stand up and walk from amongst the crowd. And you think about Jesus. Now, here's Jesus, you know, just doing the everyday life, living, you know, being faithful to his Father and to God, Father God and his Joseph and Mary, his mother. And nobody really knew who he was other than, you know, that's Mary and Joseph's son. He was going after God, learning Father God and learning everything about the word and just growing in God, even though he was God. And one day there was a crowd of people gathered where John the Baptist, his nephew, his cousin, was obeying Father God and baptizing and just stirring the whole city up. Here he was in the wilderness with no texting, no email. No postal service, but yet everybody was stirred up in a nearby town. He was in the desert, and he was just saying things like, you're going to be really surprised. It's a very simple message he was talking. Hmm. He said, repent and be baptized.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How many books can you write on that? You know, repent and be baptized. That's just stirred up everybody.
Yeah.
And, you type in repentance on the VFN torch, go to VFNTV.com. We have some great segments on that. It's not as complicated as religion, you know, or the world has made it out to be. But it is something that's required, you know, to walk with God. And so he's preaching in the crowds or everywhere, religious people are everywhere. But all of a sudden, one day, to John's surprise, not John Ramos, but John the Baptist, is out of the crowd, from amongst all the people that were there, somebody stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody stepped out and stood out, and it was Jesus. And then, once he stepped out of the crowd, then John, who was prophesying and telling people that Jesus was coming, he didn't recognize him until he stepped out. He was just one amongst everybody else until he stepped out. But once he stepped out, I mean, instantly he recognized the Son of God, and he just immediately began to talk about who he is and what he's going to do, and Jesus was stepping down to be baptized. I mean, if Jesus was baptized, bro,
mm-hmm. Ooh.
And he said, you got to baptize me, but he says, you know, I'm not even unworthy to unloose his sandals. Today we would say, I'm not unworthy to untie your Nikes. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Somebody untie your shoes. And he says, oh, no, you got to baptize me. And he said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Understand, though, that he did not recognize him until he stepped out. So many people want to be recognized before they step out.
Mm.
So many people are waiting, like, I'm just waiting for them to come by and point at me and say, hey, you know, you have ministry inside of you. You have a state inside of you. You got a nation inside of you. You have 15 churches inside of you. You have stadiums inside of you. And until somebody does that, you know, you just stay in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't how it works. How it works is you trust God, do what God says, and you step out in faith. And as soon as you step out, you find out if it was a Fig Newton of your imagination, fiction, right. You know, fiction, whatever you call that. And, or if it was real. And then you have to get over the fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. You know, just live for, it's just so much easier to live for God. Because if you're living for a man, realize you're going to have to change yourself next week because the man's going to change. And so you got to keep changing and doing different. Right. You know, just live for God. Live for God. And so he stepped out. And when he stepped out, he was recognized for who he was. And as soon as he stepped out, John recognized him and said who he was. He baptized him. But as soon as he baptized him, all of heaven recognized him. And his father recognized him. Notice that his father didn't recognize him until he stepped out of the crowd and followed in obedience. He followed in obedience. He was baptized. And what happened? The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. And all of a sudden, all the way from heaven, you know, you hear Father God talking about his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, listen, this is my son. Can you imagine the roar of heaven? You know, all of heaven is hearing and all of earth is hearing. And it's just God. God's talking about his son. And he says, this is my son. That's my son. And he says, in whom I'm well pleased. I mean, even Jesus didn't start his ministry until he got rightly related and got affirmed by the Father. So many people are trying your hardest. You're working so hard, but you know you're so, you know, insecure. You're fighting all these lies about yourself, and you're trying to be something that nobody's ever affirmed you that you are. Or, you know, you are in the proximity of where you're supposed to be related, but you refuse to be related. And you're hanging around, but you're not getting in.
Mm.
And, of course, requiring for Jesus to get in with the public affirmation of the Father, it meant there was a march to the cross. It was denying of self. It was refusing to exalt himself. He entrusted himself to him who is just and would defend him. He didn't, with loud cries and petitions, even though he was a son, and he could have whacked anybody he wanted to and called down thousands and thousands. I mean, one angel would have just, you know, wear us out.
Right.
I mean, look what happened during Israel and David sinned and counted the people. And one angel's like thumping people off left and right. You can imagine a legion of angels just like, okay, we'll have to have a new earth here. It's over. But he never did it. He never defended himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like Pat. You know, Pat has a great ability to just to stuff buffets against him. You just watch him. And you just hear like angels go, hallelujah. And he just kind of goes, can I get you some water? You know, after mm-hmm. just difficult times and all that. And there's nothing like Pat Smith, you know, how good he is at oh, you thought I was talking about, I tell you what, there's times when I'm really good at that. And there's times when I'm not really good at it. And getting a little like, so when are you good at it? But think about it. So he says, this is my son. So what is pleasing to Father God? You know, doing what God wants us to do, letting him defend us, you know, obeying him, living for him and our eternal life with him, and not living for what's here on this earth. Jesus was never concerned about what was here on earth. And you know, I think about 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 15 through 16, where Paul says, you know, we got 10,000 teachers.
Mm.
You know, and there's just, I want to teach. Why? We're choking on teachers.
Mm-hmm.
We're choking. What else are you going to teach? Just Genesis throughout. What else are you going to teach? Just practice doing it, you know. And he says, we've got 10,000 teachers, but we have very few fathers. And unless you've been a father, you don't know what I'm talking about. But once you've been a father and you love God and you love your family, I mean, you're going to be a broken man.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a broken man because everything in this world where Satan has his throne down here, it has an all-out attack against God's children. And it happened ever since when Jesus was born, that's what happened. When Moses was born, that's what happened. And the enemy's always after, you know, the children of God. You got to fight. You got to mm-hmm. fight. It's, you know, I'll be talking about soon. You hear about, you know, PTSD, what, post-traumatic stress disorder. It's post-parental traumatic stress disorder we're talking about. Because I really believe, you know, if you truly love God and you're fighting for your family, you're fighting for your spiritual family and your natural family, I mean, it's a war. You're in a war and things are constantly just blowing up and, you know, defeats and you got to fight again. And you just all of a sudden you're like a robot. Yeah, I got to still, you know, and you're suffering from a post-parental traumatic stress disorder, PPTSD. Wow. So we'll be talking about that.
Wow.
And I just want to encourage you because a lot of, you may think you're the only one suffering from that, but, you know, ask a lot of ministers, they're suffering from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just part of the fight. It's part of the fight. It's happened ever since the beginning of time. And you're not crazy. You're just faithful and you fought. And that's why you're saying, you know, we honor our natural wars when our soldiers suffer from PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. And we should. I mean, they fight for us. And what happens is tragedy happens. Some big thing happens is death, you know, constantly facing destruction any single moment, which sounds just like David's life, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, David had post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, too.
I mean, you mentioned Saul. He goes, you know, I love Saul. I honor Saul, but I got to stay away from Saul right now because he's trying to kill me.
Hello.
You know, one time I risked it and laid down, and he even said this to Saul when he was trying to kill him. He says, "My father." Mm. You know, isn't that crazy? It's crazy, isn't it?
Crazy.
But it's true. It's true. But it was all ordained by God in the context of that. But I just want to encourage you that in 2013, you want to step out. And don't say, I'll step out in February. Start stepping out in December so you're already moving when January hits. Because if you wait till January to put your plan together, it won't be till June till you do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then by July, the enemy will tell you the year is over. Why not wait till next year?
Right.
And I'm feeling this. I'm really feeling this. You know, deeply is that time as we know it is just clicking off the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about the four red moons that are coming up in 16 months from January. And it'll have four red moons. It's only happened like three times, I believe. NASA's documented it. And, of course, you know, Acts, read about it. The moon turns to blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to happen. You know, the other times it happened is when Israel became a nation. It's when... Another time it happened that when the 7-day war, you know, the 1967 war in Israel,
mm-hmm.
and wow. it's about to happen again. And we have a little bit of time, just a little bit of time, to be able to prepare the side of it. So just between me and you, could you please step out from amongst the crowd? We're going to need some help out here.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it could be just 300. You know, there could be masses, you know, that are filling stadiums and all that kind of stuff. But there are 300 people that says, you know what? I am going to blow a trumpet. I am going to shine a light. I am going to lead. I'm going to be a leader in 2013. I'm going to go through the training, whatever I need to do to prepare myself, because I can't train from what presently is, because I'm just going to do what is. I got to get into the new wine, what God is doing, so I can prepare for the new thing he's doing while I'm honoring the old wineskin, which is God as well, and loving our family all the way through it, preparing for the next generation to come in. I'm telling you, step out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. You know, let 2013, not one of those 365 days, be said of you that you took anything off the court of 2013, that you put everything. I mean, even if that, just imagine, this is my last 365 days of my life on earth, and the 365th day I'm going to be standing before the throne of God. Just imagine that. And then live 2013 like that's your last 365 days on earth. It's your last 52 weeks for the year. It's your last 12 months. You know, and Pat, John can tell you the hours and the minutes and the seconds and the Sundays. But knowing this,
he can.
Yeah, right. That means you have to. But just imagine that. And then if God happens to give you 2014, you know, plan again. But if he doesn't, look what you did. Look what you did in 2013. And just live for God. And Jesus had to step out. He stepped out from the crowd. And so while he was in the crowd, that's why you're not being recognized, because you're just wanting to blend in. You're wanting to, and I'm not talking about recognition in regards to men's recognition. Listen, beware when all men talk well of you, and be encouraged when some start talking bad about you,
mm-hmm.
or all, because you're being treated like Jesus. But live for God. I mean, the voice, the only voice you may hear when you step out from amongst the crowd is the only voice that matters, mm-hmm. which is Father God saying, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And understand, right after he got baptized, the Holy Spirit led him to a time of preparation, which was testing. The Holy Spirit led him to that. And that's a process of preparation. You step out, you get prepared. And get close to those who want to live for God in 2013. And if you can't find anybody, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. You know, get up with us and find out what's happening. Get up with anybody who wants to live 2013 really, now, biblically for God, not religiously, not what some whatever is going on, philosophies and all that kind of stuff. Just live for God. Step out from amongst them and be separate and stand up, even if it's only 300 leaders for God that will deliver an entire nation. We'll be right back.
Wow, you probably listen to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. VFNU.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church. And so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. John, the VFNTV app.
What app?
The VFNTV app.
What's an app?
Everything has an app. VFNTV and VFN radio program. We have an app.
An app for that?
We have an app for that. I'm telling you. You know, I think about it that there's nothing like having, that's a free app too, by the way. It's a free app. As a matter of fact, you can find the app, John. You know we have an app.
Okay, we have an app.
Finally. It's an app. It's an app store right now. You go to VFNTV.com. If you have a Google phone, go to Google Play. If you have an iPhone, go to iTunes. Either way, type in VFNTV in your search area of your app store, and you can get the VFNTV and the daily radio program app now for free. Enjoy. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the first hour today is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. You want some more licorice? I guess I got a little piece of licorice.
I'm good. Another piece of licorice
right here. Hey, dude, listen. I can hear John, but I can't see him right now. Are you under the table? Where are you at? Oh, okay. You sat up. Listen. The Golden State Exodus. That's what they're calling this tax time bomb that in California is creating a mass exodus now. Over 140,000 citizens in California have left.
Oh, wow.
And because of the high taxes, I mean, they just, you know, this is the mindset. The reason why you work is to pay taxes. That's the mindset that's kind of kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Fox News is reporting even just this morning. And they stated that some of the people that are talking about that left California, they're asking questions like, is this a sign for what's going to happen to the nation? And that's what happened to, I believe it was in England. They began just to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They just begin to leave. Millionaires in Greece, they just begin to leave.
Mm-hmm.
if you say if you got one millionaire and everybody else is making $10 a year, well, you say, we're going to take, you know, all that $1 million from that particular man or woman. There's other places to live than Greece.
You know? Yeah, hello.
And so what they start thinking is, you know, I think I'd like to keep my $1 million that I worked for. I didn't mind paying taxes, but you want to rob me of everything I have. Well, you're not going to work. So I'll tell you what. I'm just going to move to, you know, in the name of another country.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have no more money coming into your government because you based it on, the very fact that, you're just going to take it from some people and everybody's not going to pay, you know, a part of the taxes. You just can't necessarily do this. You just lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to have some of something than nothing of nothing.
All right.
And so now they're beginning to leave. And it's the upper middle class, the middle class workers, they're having to leave because they can't afford to live in a place. And all of you ever seen it's not Discovery Channel, but they have like, they buy houses and they show them buying houses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like from, you know, the prices of our houses compared to their houses, you could buy, I don't know how many houses. It's amazing what they're paying in California for houses,
I know.
What they pay in New Jersey for houses. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. The price, you wish you could pick up your house, you know, in one particular state and just drop it off. Say, no, I'm just going to sell it. I'm going to put it over there.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to fly. I got a plan. Here's the plan. We're going to buy houses in the reasonable price in Houston, Texas. Texas got some real huge houses.
Yeah.
With great prices there. And we're going to get a huge couple helicopters and some iron beams, and we're going to pick them puppies up. It's going to cost us, you know, millions of dollars for these helicopters. If you sell one house, you can pay for the helicopters in California. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, by your third house of dropping them off in California, you could be really, you're doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good idea, isn't it?
That's really good.
Of course, they probably tax you 200% for bringing it there, so I guess that's not going to work. Well, also, you're not going to believe, and we're going to be talking about the Android in a moment, the Android phone and the commercial coming up. And Android, by the way, is Google's phone, if you didn't know that or not. Somebody says, well, I don't want to put my information out there on the internet. I just use my Android phone.
Yeah, like, right.
That is Google.
Exactly.
That is Google. And so we talk about, because they're talking, the commercial shows where they put the phone on the chest, and we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. And when they do that, they inject it into the person's like arm, and then they show a DNA strand of that man, and then it begins to restructure the man's DNA. We're not adding to your phone something like, and we'll talk, it's not, we're not extending you, your phone. This is an extension of you or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we've been talking about in artificial intelligence and all the things that they're working for.
Wow.
And
at least he's not trying to hide it.
No, they're not. But, and it's, you know, and it's mixed up. Churches got mixed up where, you know, people say, you got to have knowledge. Proverbs talks about knowledge. The knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between chasing knowledge in itself, you know, getting 15 degrees and still not have a job, and going on the knowledge, finding out the knowledge of God, who knows all things. Because then we begin to depend on the knowledge that we gained when we didn't gain the knowledge of God, which is called pride, which that's why I say it puffs us up. And it's amazing. It just boils down to two trees in the garden, looks like, again. Started in the very beginning, it looks like now it's a choice between two trees it's boiling down to. But we're not going to talk about, I want to talk about something that happened in your neck of the woods,
mm-hmm.
your neck of the scrapers. They, I can't, dude, your paper up there, or your magazine, I believe it was, there is a paper, printed in their paper a map of New York, and then listed every person's address and name that has a gun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? I would start saying, okay, well, this one's got like silver
and that
one's got a lot of cash. And this one over here has nice, you know, they keep in the back left hand. I would start listing all their stuff
mm-hmm.
and say, if you're going to list, because guns are cost money. It's people's valuables. And in being in law enforcement, criminals get guns from breaking into houses. And you just listed every single house that has a gun. And you just armed criminals in New York. You just said, they got a list right now. They can go mm-hmm. start breaking into your houses. That's just stupid. Yes, it's the First Amendment right for you to say that, but it's their Second Amendment right to have them. And so why in the world, what would one amendment say to another? Leave me alone. It's, mm-hmm. it's what we do. It's what we breathe. Yeah. You don't talk about breathing. And I could not believe that they had actually listed it. And they got a Google map, but it has like a dot where every single of the, I don't know if it's Google Maps or not, but it has a dot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is Google Map. It has a dot, a little red dot right where the person is that has a phone, and it has their name and their address on it. And they got this from the records. And it's, it is the New York paper had done this, particular New York paper. And it's written by Nick Carbon. Nick Carbon, who actually wrote it, I believe. And
where does Nick Carbon live? Where does Nick Carbon live?
That's you're reading my mind, bro. You are so reading my mind. It's like, wake up. We need people to step out from amongst the crowd and say, oh, that's cool. Well, guess who's going to know what you had for dinner last night?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You know, guess who's going to know where you got your car and how many payments you got left in and what's in your glove box and what's in your trunk? You know, guess who's going to know? And it's like, hey, you know, this is just First Amendment, bro. First Amendment.
And what time,
got a map now, he's left his house, just to let you know, he left his house right now, it's gone, it's empty.
We'll be updating our blog.
It's vacated.
Every 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's vacated, so just want to let you know, First Amendment, exercising, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And to be able to let you know, that's just like, okay, fine. And it's like, nobody steps out and says, I don't know why the journalist is like, okay, let's play the game.
Yeah.
Let's play the game. Let's get out there and let's start making everything that you do public. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's going to be boring probably because you just live off other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, you know, you're going to feel uncomfortable because people know your boring life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you would feel violated. But right now, I mean, think about it. Somebody just says, hey, you have $400 at your house. That's really about, you know, $400 to $1,000 for guns. And it's like, you just told everybody that they have this valuable there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, that's going to keep people from breaking in. Most criminals get guns for the crimes they commit. They break into the house and they steal the guns. So what did you just do? You just armed the wrong side in New York. I hope somebody tracks this to be able to watch what happens now to these gun owners. And now they got to defend themselves, you know, and you're going to look at another constitutional right. You know, to defend themselves. But it's just amazing, you know, what's taken place with media today. And I know that, of course, it's your neck of the woods. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks. Yeah.
Your neck of the scrapers. What do you think about that? Because I know you went through a lot of process up there in Jersey, the way they handle guns and all.
Yeah, well, thanks.
What?
You know, it's just crazy because, you know, you just mentioned earlier, it's a Second Amendment right. It's nobody's business. And yet, I mean, New York, New Jersey, and California have the toughest gun laws in the entire country. You know, and you have to go through an act of Congress just to be able to purchase fire ammunition, much less, you know, an actual gun. And then just the thought, I mean, if you look at the media and the perception and what they're putting out there these days, I mean, you would think that these guns fire all by themselves and that they're this worst thing. I saw something posted on Facebook that was a picture that somebody said that had some kind of like a criminal or a thug or someone with a gun pointed at them. And they said, the statement said something to the effect that those that don't believe in God and don't believe in guns, when someone comes in to break into your house with a gun, you're going to do two things. One is you're going to call someone who has a gun to stop the guy that has a gun coming in your house, and you're also going to pray that he gets there quickly. So it's like,
yeah, being former law enforcement, that's exactly what they do. They want you to show up and say, please help me, please help me.
He has a gun.
Yeah, and he or she would not be showing up if they didn't have a gun because they want to go home that day.
Mm.
But they are talking about arming a teacher or the principal. I know some principals I would not want to have a gun. You know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want them to have a gun. But they said, or a teacher. You know, out of all those teachers, there can be, you know, a teacher that has this kind of skills. And there's just,
sure.
I mean, think about it. You have guns going off. And speaking of that, you know, in Arden Fair Mall, there was a lockdown on this mall because they heard what sounded like shots being fired. And you got the security cameras. People are running out of this two-story mall. they're running from everywhere, just running as fast as they could to get out of this mall because they're hearing what they perceive was shots being fired. Everybody's living on edge, only to find out this, that it was several guys fighting in the food court, and they were knocking over signs.
Wow.
I mean, do you really want, think about this, if it was in the food court and people were, did have guns in there, wouldn't you want, you know, 10 or 12 people carrying a concealed weapon legally, you know, in that food court, you know, and realizing, you know, more people still may be killed, but at least that person will get stopped and less, more people would be killed, but additional people at that point when he draws his gun, we, you know, there could be a fight going on, talking about like in a gun situation, but ultimately less people would be killed because he stopped them. This happens in the sheriff's departments and police departments all the time, that just because a police officer shows up with a gun doesn't mean nobody else is going to not die, because all of a sudden shots start going off and the bad guys start shooting at the police, and sometimes they're not good shots, and, you know, somebody gets shot, but ultimately those police officers take this bad guy either to the morgue or to the jail. Society's safer. Society is safer. And, of course, people will say, well, either way, we got to get back to original intent. If you haven't yet gone to the original intent on your app, your VFN TV app, or on the VFN torch at VFNTV.com, you got to go there, because we talk about the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, I believe the Fifth Amendment, and different amendments about what are, and you have a right to bear arms in America. It is a right. And no, they're making it into a right to go hunting with your gun. It has nothing to do with hunting. It was about a militia. About a militia so that you could defend yourself. It wasn't, you know, we had volunteer fire departments, you know, we had volunteer police officers and sheriffs, pretty much you paid just a pittance, you know, type things while they still worked their farms. And it was not about, you know, hey, we can depend on, you know, a few people in the community with guns. Everybody had one. Right. And there was less people. I mean, you just didn't go into a bank where everybody, including the teller, had a gun. You know, that was a cell. I mean, somebody's going to get shot. You know, somebody's going to get shot at that point. Although banks were still robbed, it wasn't that many. And if they did, a lot of people ended up not making it out the door, you know, with the people's money right there. But they have a map, and they have, I mean, think of this. Think of this. Think about, you know, you have a son or a daughter who got a job in New York. So they moved from wherever they were to New York, and they got a house, and they're exercising their Second Amendment rights. And you just saw your son and daughter's address and name be put up on, for the whole world to see. And with that, which shows you, by the way, when you are getting your license for a gun, your concealed weapons license, that it reminds me of what you would read to people when you arrested them. You know, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. All this information on the wrong hands, if we don't change the leadership of this country, it's going to be used against us. It's going to be it's going to be used against us. So there it is right there. It's being used against us. And that's just a sign of what's to come if we don't change the leadership from top down and get back to the original intent for the church and the original intent for the nations that has been spelled out so specifically, you know, by our founding fathers. We're such a blessed nation. You know that?
Yeah.
We're just
blessed. We really
are.
But you, even to be having this conversation, I mean, we are so extremely blessed. The thing about it is that, you know, oftentimes there's just so many naive people to think of, you know, there is extreme evil out there. I mean, you of all people as a police officer, you filtered out all of the evil that was happening in the community before most people even woke up that next morning, had no idea what was happening on that
idea what happened right there next to them.
Right next to them as they went to work the next morning, no big deal, stopped and got their coffee and didn't realize what was just removed off of the side of the street.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sometimes caught in their front yard, and they actually see tire prints in their front yard. They don't realize that was a police officer chasing somebody that was running right past their situation. Well, we're going to be right back in a moment talking about injecting an Android phone into your body. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you today, if you're looking for a fellowship of believers, if you're looking to be a part of the church where the church is family, I want to encourage you to go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's a network of abiding churches that hear God's voice and live amongst each other as family. This is the church's greatest hour, and God may be calling you to be a part. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Check it out. It could be for you.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat, based on what we presently see, where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the Data Radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on
a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in this first hour is Pat and John. We want to go quickly into this Android. It's an Android commercial that Verizon puts on, and we're going to make it available to you on the VFN Torch. I'm not sure they would mind at all, but it's a casting vision. This is their vision, I believe. This 30-second spot is like casting a vision, and in this spot, I mean, we'll first play, and you'll hear it. I'll tell you what's happening. They take it. They're taking the phone. The man's sitting in the seat like an operating room. They're strapping stuff on his body. DNA augmentation.
Neural speeds increasing to 4G LTE. Brain upgrading to a quad core processor.
Brain is upgrading.
Predictive intelligence with Google Now complete.
Introducing Droid DNA by HTC. It's not an upgrade to your phone. It's an upgrade to yourself.
It's not an upgrade to your phone. It's an upgrade to yourself. Mm. You know, it's this thing's boiling down to two trees in the garden. It's boiling down to, here we are, we're Adam and we're Eve, and we're living, if you're a Christian, you're living in the time of rest because Jesus paid the price, and you got to trust God in the place of rest. And we got to say, don't eat. You can eat from anything you want to eat from, but there's certain things you don't do. And it looks like it's going to be a quest for knowledge. Obviously it is. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever, you know, has the information, it seems to be, you know, has some power, but not more powerful than God, who's all knowing and all present. And but here they are in this, and this is the reason why this is so interesting. First of all, and we'll talk, you know, prophetically what it lines up with. But the writer of the book, The Making of a Brain, talks about, he's the one that is working with artificial intelligence with Google, and his predictions, he made, I don't know, 100 and something predictions back in 1999, 98, and like 90% of them came to pass.
Ray Kurzweil.
Who?
Ray Kurzweil.
Yeah, Ray Kurzweil. And I got a little information about him on the Torch, but he just kind of sees how things go, and he takes like 5,000 pills a day, you know, like 40, he takes hundreds of pills, you know, a day.
Reverse aging.
He wants to live forever and experience all this. And they're getting to the point is where they're going to be able to, this is what they're talking about in this particular commercial. And what they're doing, I believe, is casting vision in 30 seconds, real quick light, to get everybody used to, this is where we're going, this is what we want to do. And it says, as soon as they set this guy in this seat, like a big dentist chair, but it's like an operating room, and it lays back a little bit. They put these straps on them, some sort of like a parachute type harness type stuff, but it's not, it's just the harness parts. In the middle of it has a place to snap the phone. As soon as they snap the phone inside of him, then they say that they're injecting DNA transformations. Mm-hmm. They're transforming the DNA. And by the way, your DNA is the original intent of God's creation.
Right.
They're getting in and messing with the original. No, they're messing with, we got the enemy messing with the original intent of the church, the original intent of America, and now he's getting into the original intent of a human body. The DNA determines, every cell has a DNA strand, and in that strand, it says, hey, I'm a lung, I'm a part of a lung, I'm a nose, I'm an eye. You know, when something breaks, it says heal. I mean, it's just the design of God. It's the operating system, if you would. And what they say is, when you put this Android product on you, and that's this Google product. I mean, it's really good. It's better to call it Google because that's what Android is. Mm-hmm. Put this Google product on you,
then it begins to go straight in, and then it shows blood cells. Once it goes right into the human body, and it shows blood cells, but in addition to blood cells, it shows that nanotechnology where it has this little small size of a blood cell type computers that are mixed in with the blood. And then that travels to the DNA strand, and then it lands on the DNA strand. You know, you have two strands, and it's connected like a twisted ladder. And it starts connecting those strands and running down those strands that connect them, like the steps on a ladder. And all of a sudden, it's changing the original intent of the human being, the DNA. And then it goes from there, and the camera backs up, and it shows the man. And then it goes right into his forehead and goes into his brain, and it shows his neuroreceptors firing off. His neurons firing off. That's how you think, you know, thoughts and memories. You have a one fires off and it sends a signal and releases a chemical to cause another one to react. And all of a sudden a muscle moves or a memory or whatever. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is huge. This is huge. You know, and if anybody's been around me, you know that we've been practicing trying to operate without technology because we had a huge issue for the longest time. I call the dark ages. We went totally... Yes, we're just going to do this thing because this technology is so good. We're just going to trust technology to be able to and did not. We moved away from all the practical ways for most of the existence of the earth. Things were done. And and it was amazing how it dampened down the our participation in our process that God of working with us to do what we, and it's like the dark ages. I call it paper or plastic, which means technology are just beginning to get involved in the process of planning your day and your vision and your direction and where you're going. And people are no longer just a supposedly a data entry. Sometimes they say that you are, but you're not.
Right.
And, you know, but you really are. It's just, you know, it's just a data entry in their database, but you're not a personal relationship. And it is difficult. I mean, it's not difficult. It was difficult in a way that you have to realize I could do this faster. I could do this more efficiently, but the truth is, if I go that direction, I won't be in the process. So does God's design things for us to rule down here, and we're supposed to be in the process. We're not supposed to surrender our destiny over to a corporation. That's what Google is. Google is a business, and they have a lot of people that work there, and they make money from advertising and that type of thing. But it's a company. It's like the Coca-Cola company. You know, it's like the... Walmart. It just happens to be a Google technology company that helps you, us get information and knowledge in that type of situation. But here now they're talking about taking their phone, Google's phone, and injecting it. And that's the ultimate goal. If you would see this particular man that we're talking about that was being interviewed and got the book, The Building of the Brain, and he worked with Google to develop this technology, according to him, when I saw him in an interview. But also
with NASA as well.
Yeah, working with NASA. But also he's working with us now where that your computer, which will be in you, will know what you need before you even ask and to begin to suggest it. And what happens in this commercial, it shows all of a sudden when everything kicks in and it's sitting, all of a sudden this display starts coming up on this phone and it starts saying, you're 40 minutes away from work, traffic as well, you have an appointment at such and such, and all of a sudden it just starts running your life.
And the other thing, too, that Google has, and it's all about gathering information and studying you. That's how they're able to create these computers, is that they have now a new laptop called the Google Chrome. It's a relatively inexpensive laptop, but because everything is internet-based, so they created all these products like Gmail and Google Docs, so that you can type in all your information. Everything is saved onto the Google Cloud. You don't need one piece of software, not one. The entire computer runs strictly off of the internet.
And with that, everything you send, they just get more knowledge about you and build a profile. Because they say they're doing it because they want to be more efficient and to be to carry you way beyond what you can carry, you know, you can do. And I had a dream, and this particular dream the Lord gave me very specifically. I was walking in this technology room, and this lady carries me back to this, or these monitors are, and she showed me one particular one, and it was a live shot of the Earth, but it was the center of an ocean. It was the center of the ocean where Even the middle of nowhere. You haven't seen it. I've been in the Navy, so if you don't know where nowhere is, it's not where on land. It's in the water in the middle of where you're so far out. All you see is the curve of the earth. And that God was showing me very specifically different things in this, that every square inch of the earth is going to be monitored. So what happens? A pirate ship comes up. They identify it. They send a drone out there and take it down. I mean, in logical sense, it just kind of said, hey, that would be good. Mm-hmm. For the fact that they can send a drone to take you down, you know? And it doesn't matter if you're American from what we're seeing, too. But in that specific thing, and what you're seeing is in, yeah, the Google Store and all these different things and other companies you're trying to keep up. But we have to be willing to say, you know what? Even if I have to grow something, even if I have to grow my tomato, even if I have to starve to death, I have to be careful not just to go ahead and click through and say, you can use this as long as you accept these terms of agreement. Because what's going to happen is, you know, it says, this is what the Word of God says very specifically in the revelation of Christ, Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18, talking about the beast and the beast economy and all that kind of thing that's going on, Satan. He says, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his forehead and on his right hand and on his forehead. This is pretty interesting because I just realized that they actually went into the man's forehead to be able to show that, and they gave him two injections on his right forearm.
Wow.
And therefore, you know, by the way, Google's first sketch was the Burning Man, by the way. We see that 10 things you don't know about Google, you can find that on the VFN Torch. They have no problem saying what they believe or don't believe in the context of that. So this is the end time economy, the beast economy, and it's what we're seeing being built here. He also forced everyone, small, great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand and on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had a mark, which is the mark or the number of the beast. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the man's number. His number is 666. Listen, it's getting that way. I mean, things are happening so quickly. It's only will we let it happen or will we not let it happen. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour, but they're talking about literally showing, injecting their system, their computerized system, which we call a Android phone, Google phone, into the man's body. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.